Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. So you get your Bibles and turn there if you would, please. Philippians chapter 2, as we begin the next chapter in the book of Philippians in our series about rejoicing in Christ. And as we ended chapter number 1, it ended on more of a, I wouldn't say a negative note, but in the way of struggles, I guess, if you will. And it talks about your adversaries in verse number 28. And then in verse number 29, it talks about our suffering. And then in verse number 30, it talks about conflict. And we're going to have all those that we'll face in life, especially in the Christian life. And so we have an adversary, the devil. We will suffer for the name of Christ. And the Bible says, given in the behalf of Christ, we'll suffer for his sake. And then we'll have conflict as well. But now there's a bit of a change in the subject, if you will, in chapter number 2. And let's read these verses as we begin the lesson today. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 1, the Bible says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And as we look at this passage here, it changes again from the adversaries, the suffering, the conflict. And then in verse number 1, it changes that around quickly, and it talks about consolation in Christ, our comfort of love, fellowship of the Spirit, bowels and mercies. And as we go through struggles in life, you can find comfort in Christ. You know, everyone, I said this a minute ago, that we're going to face adversary suffering and conflict as a Christian. But guess what? A Christian or not, everyone's going to face those in life. Everyone's going to face conflict and have battles and struggles. That's a part of life. But as a Christian, we have comfort in Christ. That you realize that we don't go through the Christian life alone. We're not on our own. As a saved person, you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, and God is with you everywhere that you go. That can either be a comfort or that can be conviction to know that Christ is with you everywhere that you go. And so again, it goes from conflict to comfort. It goes from changes from suffering to fellowship. But we know this, no matter what you go through in life as a Christian, you go through it with Christ. You go through it with Christ. And so we're going to look at this, and we're going to get right into the message this morning. We'll see if we get through these four verses today. And I'm very much looking forward to the next verses. When I was in school as a child, we memorized, I believe, the whole book of Philippians, but I specifically remember memorizing through Philippians chapter number 2, and I'm looking forward to the next verses we'll get to in the coming weeks. But let's look at this first of all today as an introduction, but also as the first point, finding comfort in Christ. The Bible says here, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies. It's not saying this in a sense of if you can have fellowship with Christ. You can have fellowship with Christ. It's not if you can find comfort in Christ. You can find comfort in Christ. Not trying to change the Word of God, but you could also say it since you find comfort in Christ. Since you can have fellowship with God. It's easy in this life to get discouraged, defeated by the world, by your flesh, by things that we face in life. Life can be tough, and you have battles that you face every day, right? Every day you're going to have battles and difficulties, things that you face. And so the question is this: where do you go for comfort? Where do you go for help? Some people, they find their comfort in their family. And I don't know about you, but I love going home. Home is my favorite place to go each and every day. And I love coming to church and working here, but I love going home. And you can find comfort in your home or with your family. You can find comfort with friends, maybe. Maybe you're that person, you have a bad day, and you can't wait to get on the phone or talk to your friend and share your share your struggles for the day, and they try to comfort you. Some people try to find comfort in a bowl of ice cream. That's not bad though, right? Maybe a tub of ice cream. You know what? Depends what kind of day it was. Some people, when you know you have that kind of day, and they just think, I've got to go out and go for a walk in the woods somewhere. Get on the bike, go for a walk, go do something, and just kind of unwind. And you know, I think that's important in life. There's so much that life brings at you. You need that place to release, but it needs to be in the right place. Some people, you may find comfort in different areas, but the number one place, the number one person to go to with your struggles and to find comfort is always Christ. To go to Christ. Why? Because God knows what you're going through anyway. You ever go to talk to someone, you say, man, I'm having a bad day, I'm struggling, and they say, hey, I can't understand what you're going through. But when you go to Christ, God understands. He already knows, he has the answers, and God has comfort when you go to him. Sometimes you have those people that they're just they're the tough guy, the tough woman, but inside, really, we all are vulnerable. We all have our struggles, we all have our difficulties. And so what do you do when you have those struggles in life? As a Christian, you go to Christ. You go to God. That's why every day it's so important to get your Bible, open it up, read the Word of God, as it gives you encouragement and strength and challenging and conviction, where you go to God in prayer and God speaks to you through His Word and God helps you and guides you as a child. And you maybe wake up that day and you think, man, I don't really want to face today. You ever have those days? I know what I have to face today. I don't really want to face it. But you go to the Word of God and you read a verse like, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And God gives you help for that day and He gives you comfort. You say, God, I don't know if I can do it on my own. And guess what? You can't. But you can do it with Christ. And so you go to God for comfort. No matter what comes your way, we have comfort in Christ. Please turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians, just a few books back in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And looking at verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, talking about finding comfort in Christ. And these verses very much cover the subject here. 2 Corinthians 1, verse number 3, it says, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the, read the last phrase with me, ready? The God of all comfort. Look at that. He's the God of all comfort. He is the Father of mercies, but He's the God of all comfort. It says this in verse number 4, Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Consolation is really another word for comfort as well. In verse number 6 it says, For whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. For our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Again, it says this, that He is the God of all comfort. And the Bible says, as we are comforted in Christ, and that we can comfort and help others as well. There's a song we sing with our kids and our teenagers. With Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm. There's a lot of hand motions that go with it. I won't go through it. It's a fun kid song, a bus song. But with Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm. And we go through the storms of life. We go through the struggles. Every week, every day is going to have its own battles. But what do? Do you just get frustrated? Do you get upset, depressed? What do you do? Well, you go to Christ to find comfort. You go to God to get help. You know, you don't have to be that tough guy, that tough lady, and say, I can get through it all by myself. Well, that's foolish to do that, because I can do nothing on my own. And when you have God by your side, why would I not choose to have God to help me? And so with Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. We're going to go through the struggles of life, but we can have comfort in Christ. I think of the verses in the book of 1 Thessalonians that talk about that we sorrow not as others which have no hope. And we're going to have sorrows and struggles, but we do have hope as a Christian, right? No matter the outcomes of this world, no matter what the day faces, we have comfort, we have hope in Christ. We don't have to be hopeless. We don't have to be discouraged, defeated. You may get there at times, but we should get to Christ quickly. And God can change your spirit. God can change your attitude. God can help encourage you and strengthen you for that day. Many times people go to the world for comfort. They go to the world for their help. And many times people go to drinking. They go to sinful living. And what do? They try to drown their sorrows. They want to forget about it for a moment. The world, as it says in the book of Hebrews, that there is pleasure in sin for a season. And you may find comfort in the world for a moment. You know, you get off the phone with that friend, and I'm not against having a friend to encourage you. That comfort may be for a moment. That encouragement, that satisfaction may last for a moment, however you try to find comfort in your life. But to find comfort and encouragement in Christ is lasting. If you find comfort and fellowship in the world, really it's only temporary. But knowing this, that there's comfort in knowing that you're a child of God. You say, but no one else knows what I'm going through. Well, God does. And you as a child of God know this, that God cares about his children. He knows where you are, what you're going through every moment of the day, and there's comfort in that, that there's someone that cares, someone that loves you, someone that's watching out for you. We know this, that as the example is that as a parent to your child, how much you want to care for your child, how much you love your child, how much you invest in your child, want to take care of their needs. The Bible says, how much more does your heavenly Father in heaven care about the needs of his children? There's comfort in knowing that you're a child of God. No matter what you go through in life, to know that I'm a child of God, that should bring comfort to our hearts. There's the comfort of eternal security, that no matter what happens, to know that heaven is your home, there is hope and comfort in knowing that one day in heaven, there'll be no more sorrow, no more sickness, no death, no more elections, no more struggle, no more crime, none of that in heaven. Isn't that a comfort to you? To know that heaven is on the other side. Could be today that Jesus Christ returns. Looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a comfort that is. If our hope is in this life, if our hope is in this world, then we might be hopeless. But when your hope is in Christ, no matter what happens, we have comfort, we have hope, we have encouragement. The comfort of heaven. What about this? The comfort of the Holy Spirit. Know this, that when Jesus Christ was crucified, went to the grave, and rose again, that Jesus said, when I leave, I'm going to leave, what's another name for the Holy Spirit he'd leave with them? The Comforter. A name for the Holy Spirit is that he would leave the Comforter to be with us. The Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, he is the Comforter. He's the one that walks with you every step of the day. Everything you go through, you know, sometimes you feel like I'm going through it all alone. No, you're not. No, you're not. You have God with you. Now, you may be walking contrary to God, and in that sense, you may be on your own. But that's why it's important to walk with Christ every day. We have that comfort. What about the comfort of God's Word? You know, you ever go through life and you think, you know, I don't know where to turn. I don't know what the answers are. Well, you have the Bible. Isn't that a comfort in knowing that we have God's holy, perfect Word? And when you say, I don't know the answer, guess what? God has a whole lot of answers in here for you. And when you're struggling, you come to the Word of God and you find comfort from God's Word, but also you find comfort from God's promises. That if God said it, he'll keep it. If God said it, he will do it. And there's comfort in the promises of the Word of God. So knowing this, as you turn back to the book of Philippians, if you're not there already, that we have comfort in Christ. Another area that we have comfort in Christ, we kind of mentioned it already, is the comfort of God's fellowship. The comfort of God's fellowship. It says if we have any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, that you get to walk and talk with God. What a comfort that is. Can you imagine Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? And God came to walk and talk with them in the cool of the day. Why was that? Because there was no sin in the earth at that time. There was no distance of fellowship between man and God. And so God would literally come and walk and talk with them every day. Let me ask you this. How is your fellowship with Christ today? How's your relationship with God today? Are you close with God or are you kind of distanced from God? Have you been spending time with God or has it not been that much? Having fellowship with God. There's the comfort of God's fellowship. In John chapter 10, it says, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." Isn't it great to know that God says, "I know you by name"? God knows everything about you. You're a child of God and God wants to have fellowship with you. In James chapter 4, I remember this as a child. I remember school chapel. I don't remember a lot about school chapels as a child, I'll be honest. I think I was mostly thinking, when is this done so we can go play, you know? But I remember specifically one message, sitting in chapel, and the message in James chapter 4, verse 8, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." And I remember that he set up someone on the other side of the platform and said, as you take a step to God, then God over there comes and takes a step to you. As you draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. So you've heard this before, and I'll say it again. You and I both, we're as close to God today as you want to be. You're as close to God today as you want to be. You could spend as much time with God as you want or as little of time as you want. And God is desiring to spend time with his children. He wants to hear your voice today. He wants to spend time with you and speak with you today. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. He will take that step closer to you. What a comfort that is, to know that God always wants to spend time with you. You have that person that maybe you're like, hey, you want to spend time together? Like, no, I'm too busy. I've got things to do. And you're like, man, it kind of hurt, you know? But God is always wanting to spend time with you. And the great thing about the Lord is he has time to spend with each and every single person. He doesn't have to divide his time. He can spend time with each and every one of us. What a comfort that is. We have the comfort of God's mercies. At the end of this verse, it says, "And he bowels and mercies." In 2 Corinthians 1:3, we were in that passage earlier. It says this, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies." Aren't you thankful for God's mercies? It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Why? Because we're sinners. The only reason we're here today is because of the mercy of God. What a comfort that is to know that God is merciful. So again, introduction and point number one is having comfort in Christ, finding comfort in Christ. Number two is this, fulfilling God's will together. Look in verse number two. And we're going to look back in the end of chapter 1 in a minute because many of these verses are repetitive and go back and forth to other verses. But it says this in Philippians 2, verse 2. It says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Paul, through the inspiration of God, said, "Fulfill ye my joy." This is his joy. This is God's joy. That you would fulfill it by doing this, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, does that sound pretty familiar to the end of chapter number 1? If you go back to verse number 27, it says this in the last part of the verse. It says, "That ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Paul's prayer, God's prayer for us, is that we would strive together, work together. Why? To do God's will. Right? That we would strive together to do the will of God. Now, we can strive together, working for God, or we can fight against each other, not doing anything for God. We have a choice as a family. You can work together for the same cause, or you can fight against each other. As spouses, as parents and children, but as a church, we can fight amongst each other. Remember back in Philippians chapter 1, and let me see if I can find the verse here quickly. I think I wrote it down somewhere. That's all right, I'll find it eventually. Either way, we'll reference to it, but he said that some preach Christ of strife. Some are doing the will of God, but they're doing it for their own sakes. They're doing it to fight amongst each other. Again, we can do God's will working together as a church, fighting the world, getting the gospel out, doing the will of God, or we can fight amongst each other. Fight the devil or fight each other. Which one is going to be more helpful? Well, fighting the devil, right? And it says, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded. So does that mean we all have to think the same, right? Anyone in here think the same at all? You get married to someone for 50 years and you're like, I don't know if I really know them. You know, what are they thinking? But the more time you spend with someone, though, you know this. The more time you spend with someone, the more you think like them. You know what they're thinking. You know what they're going to do. You would know what they want. Well, the same thing, to be like-minded is not to think as someone else does, but to have the mind of Christ. We'll look at that in the coming verses. In verse number 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're going to get to that next week, so I don't want to steal the thunder for that. But fulfilling God's will together, that you be of the same love, the Bible says, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Again, how are we going to be like-minded, having the same love? Well, it's found right here. Following God is where you have the same love. You have the same mind. You have the same purpose, the same direction in your life, doing God's will together. One of the greatest joys of a church is getting to serve God together, right? Getting to pray together, getting to go soul winning and witness to someone together, doing the work of God together. What a joy that is. You say, but I don't really like them that much. It's not about if we like them or not. What does God want us to do? Like-minded, what does God want? What is God's purpose for me, for this church? Serving God together, you find joy. Paul, in 3 John, chapter 1, verse number 4, it says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I have no greater joy. There's no greater joy than that God would see that his children walk in truth. Right? You know that as a parent. Don't you find joy when your children do what's right? Whether they're little children at home or whether they're grown up, to know that they're loving God, serving God, doing what's right. That brings joy to your heart, doesn't it? Well, how much more does the Father look down at us and he finds joy when you do what's right? Again, that earthly example of you find joy when someone else does right. We had the privilege of working with the teenagers for many years in the church. And one of the greatest joys of working in the youth ministry is getting to see those teenagers grow up, get older, love God, serve the Lord, raise their family in church. There is no greater joy than to see someone that caught it. They caught it. They got the Word of God, not because it's what I said, because what God taught them, and they have a love for the Lord. There's no greater joy than that. How do we have unity, to be like-minded, having the same love, one accord, one mind? Well, we have unity of spirit. We have unity in our purpose, unity in our love, unity in our mind. How do we do that? How can we be like-minded? Well, because we're following God. We're following God. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about anyone else. It's about what does God want us to do? Amen? Following God and following God's word. You don't have to wonder, what would God want me to do? Now, there's situations you pray about and you think, God, I'm not sure what you want me to do. You seek God's direction. But God is pretty clear in his word what he wants a Christian to do and not to do. So how can we be like-minded? Well, we follow the Word of God. That's how we're like-minded. We follow God's purpose. Well, what is the purpose? To love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Preach the gospel. live a holy, separated life, that's how we're like-minded. How else could a group of people come together from all different walks of life, different ages, different backgrounds? How can we all come together as a church to do what God wants us to do? Well, we come together following God. Amen? Fulfilling the will of God. And it says this, that you fulfill my joy. I don't think we're going to finish everything today, but we'll see how far we get. Verse number 3, how do we find comfort in Christ? We fulfill God's will together. We have fellowship with God. Number 3, live humble and lift up others. And verse number 3, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look at this. It says, let, what's the next word? Nothing. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it? You ever go to work and you're like, I don't want to hear the fighting. I don't want to hear the arguing. I don't want to work, home, wherever. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Has there been a church where people have never argued, had strife, fighting, or vainglory, pridefulness? Our nature is to have strife. Our nature is to be prideful. But I want to challenge you with this, as we see in this passage. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but, here's the opposite side, but in lowliness of mind, humility. Let each esteem or think other better than themselves. Let each esteem other better than themselves. In Philippians 1, verse 15, that's where I had the verse written down. It says, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, doing the will of God with envy and strife, pridefulness and strife. He says, let it not be this way, but let it be out of humility and thinking of others. To live humble. James chapter 4, verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Humility. Naturally, we are prideful people, aren't we? We're prideful. I can do it on my own. But instead of saying, no, I can only do it through Christ. Humility. But in lowliness of mind. Lowliness of mind isn't thinking, I can't do anything, I'm worthless, I'm useless. No, humility is this. I can only do it with God's help. I can only do it with God's strength. It's not about me. I don't need recognition. We don't deserve the praise. I can't do it on my own. I can only do it through Christ. Remembering this, without God, we have no life. Without God, I have no strength. Without God, I have no breath. I have no voice. I have nothing without God. Created in the image of God. The only reason we are here today is because of God. But yet, how easy do we start thinking highly of ourselves? You're like, oh, I've done this before. I can do it again. That's a dangerous place to get, isn't it? The moment you think, I've done this before. I can do it again. And all of a sudden, it seems like the rug gets pulled out from under your feet. And you go, man, I messed that up. And you have that big plate of humble pie, right? You ever get there? You're like, man, I messed that one up. And God just wanted to help and humble you to realize you and I cannot do it on our own. Micah 6:8 says, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. To be humble before the Lord. To be humble. To not let pride be lifted up, but to be humble before God. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Man, pride, you get lifted up in pride. The only place to go when you get up high is what? Is to go down. Is to go down. And let God exalt you, not yourself. Then the Bible says this, as you humble yourself, lift up others. In Philippians 2:3 it says, but in lowliness of mind, humility, let each esteem or think other better than themselves. Again, this is contrary to our human nature, isn't it? When we compare ourselves to others, many times we compare to others thinking more highly of ourselves, don't we? Let's put it this way, though. The Bible says to compare yourself amongst yourselves is not wise. not a wise thing to do, but the Bible says to esteem other better than yourself. To think of other better than themselves, to lift others up. This is contrary to our thinking. In Romans 12:10, it says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honor preferring one another. And honor preferring one another, encouraging others, not putting others down, but lifting others up. Many times people today, you hear about, climbing that corporate ladder. What do you do to climb that ladder? Usually you're stepping on someone else to get there, right? You see that through the political ads and things like that. What is most of what they do? They bash the other side, right? You got to beat someone else down to lift yourself up. Well, that is opposite as a Christian. That's the opposite of what we should do. We should lift others up, not in praise or in worship, not in a wrong manner, but to lift others up, to think highly of others, not in a prideful way, but to encourage others. I think we'll get through the next point if we get to it quickly. And this point, which will continue in the next couple verses, is this. Look to help others. In verse number 4, it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You have needs today, right? You have problems today. The Bible says, look not every man on his own things. Man, I'm good at knowing what I want and what I need, but let every man look on the things of others. You ever been blinded to the needs of your spouse, your children? And man, you're like, I need this, and you didn't realize that there was someone else in need. Look not every man on his own things. It's easy to draw a circle around ourselves and just focus on us, isn't it? It's easy to focus. Why? You say, because I'm in the middle of a struggle. I'm in the middle of a trial. I have needs. I have problems. And yes, we do. But you know what the best thing to do in the middle of your struggle, in the middle of your trial, is to look on the needs of others. This is what Christ would do in the coming verses. Having this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, in verse number 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and it took, in verse number 7, he took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And in verse number 8, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Why did Jesus Christ do that? For himself? No, for others. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You think, but I have needs. Again, one of the best things to do when you have needs is to go help someone else in need. Right? Too many times we can get selfish or self-centered, and maybe not in a bad way, but just focusing on your own needs, and sometimes you have to stop, hit the pause button, and think there's others around me that have needs as well. Well, what should we do? Pray for others. Pray for others. You ever look around and think there's a whole lot of prayer needs in the room? You think, well, what could I actually do to help others? Pray for them. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Pray for others. The best way to have a heart for others is to pray for others. You know the needs of people in the room here today? There's a whole lot of needs represented here. And not in a wrong manner, but maybe go to someone and say, is there something I could pray for you about? And again, many times we think, well, I have all these needs. And yes, we do. But what about others? Are we looking on the needs of others? Pray for others. Encourage others. Encourage others. There's people around you that could use some encouragement. Look every man also on the things of others. Encourage somebody else. Someone else is struggling. Encourage them. Lift up others. Witness to others. There's a poem. It's, I guess, put to a song. I don't think I know the song. And the poem is Others, Lord, Yes, Others. I'm sure you've heard of it or referenced to it. It says, Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep and all in vain. May efforts be to rise again, unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done, and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. And the chorus on that would be, others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be, help me to live for others that I may live like thee. And may our life be about living for others. You think about this book, the theme is rejoicing or joy. Well, you've heard that acronym of joy, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, yourself. Too many times we get that flipped around, don't we? And we go, myself, and then I'll try to squeeze in God or someone, and we kind of get things out of order. Put in the right order. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Put in God first, Jesus, others, and yourself. Look not on your own things, but every man also on the things of others. How do we find comfort in Christ? Well, there's the fellowship of the Spirit. There's remembering God's mercies, fulfilling the joy of God by living for God, living humbly, living for others, and then looking on the needs of others as well. Again, the end of chapter number one, adversaries, strife, conflict, struggles. That's part of life, isn't it? But remember this, you're gonna find comfort, encouragement, and strength from something or from someone. May that be found in God, right? You think, I'm gonna just get my strength back up all by myself. No, you're not. Go to Christ. I'm gonna find comfort by calling my best friend. And again, I'm not against calling your friend, but find comfort in Christ. Comfort in Christ. God's the one that truly comforts and helps. He understands. He has the answers to the needs that you have in life. And then as you do that, look to help others. Heads bowed and eyes closed, let's have a word of prayer as we take the offering this morning and end the lesson today. God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your love. We thank you for your help. We thank you for the comfort that only that you truly can give. Thank you for the comfort of the Holy Spirit and of God's word, of having the will of God, God's promises. We could go on and on thinking about the comfort that we have in Christ. And Lord, may we rejoice in you and find comfort in you today. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for your blessings. And bless the remainder of this service and the offering as we take it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.